it's nice to be in Aliva once again, and just like to repeat a very warm welcome to everyone that's here tonight. It's nice to see everybody along tonight. I just want to share with you some thoughts. It's found in the Book of Acts. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Just sit back, relax, and listen. It's Acts chapter 26. We're kind of breaking into a story here. It's quite a lengthy story. It's a story that takes part in Paul's life. And Paul was a great man, used by God, but perhaps just to set the scene, we should say that before Paul encountered the Lord Jesus, he was a bit of a different man. He was a man whose name was Saul, and he did terrible, terrible things to those who did believe in the Lord Jesus. And he had what many of you will perhaps have heard of, the Damascus Road experience, when the Lord intervened in his life, and he changed him, and he took him and made him fit for his service. He saved him, and Paul then went on to serve Christ, and completely switched in terms of his lifestyle, and he went on and he fervently preached the gospel. He preached Christ everywhere he went, and he kind of had upset a few people at the time by preaching Christ, and his life was in danger. He'd been taken captive. He was a prisoner at the time when we read this story, and he had requested an audience with Caesar. That was where he was heading at that particular time. And just as he's on his way, as it were, he's still in chains, he's still in bonds, and we come to this part of the story where he meets another couple of characters, and read as to what happened. So that's kind of the brief story behind the story, as it were, how we got up to this particular point. Now I'm just going to jump about a few verses and we'll try and fill in as we go along. Acts chapter 26, and starting at verse number 1, and it says this: "Then Agrippa," that's King Agrippa, "said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." So he's been given an audience, as it were, with this king. There's another man called Festus in the story, and he came to Festus first of all, and Festus wanted to listen to Paul, and he wanted to listen to Paul and what he was saying, because he knew the accusations that had been made against him. And as Festus listened to Paul, he decided that there really was an interesting case, but he couldn't really bring a case against him, as it were, and if he was to pass him on to Caesar, he had to have something substantial. And so he speaks to this man, King Agrippa, who is coming along into the area at the time. And King Agrippa listens to Festus, and he listens to the story, and his curiosity is stirred. And he says, you know, I would like to speak to this man. I would like to hear his part of the story. And that's exactly where we're coming in here. And King Agrippa gives him the platform, as it were, to put his case forward. So that was verse number 1. Down to verse number 12. And this is Paul speaking again to King Agrippa, and he's saying this: "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, Saul was his name beforehand, remember, and his name was changed to Paul. So just in case you think I'm getting all mixed up in the story as I speak tonight, I'm not. But we're going to refer to him as Saul, as Paul. See, I'm already getting mixed up. There we go. But his name was Saul before he met the Lord Jesus. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said to him, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Down to verse number 26. verse number 26. And Paul is still speaking to King Agrippa at this particular time. And he says this, for the king, that is King Agrippa, you can almost imagine him kind of looking at the king at this point in time, staring him face to face, and he says, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And just that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us. I don't know if you're anything like me, I always love to hear a good story. There's nothing like a good story, isn't there? And just so happens that just recently, just a lot of different stories have come my way, just speaking with people round and about, near and far, and some stories have come out, and they've been very interesting stories. Some of them have been very joyful stories, and you laugh along with the person, and they bring a smile to your face, you know. Some of them have been very sad stories, and they bring a lump to your throat and a heaviness over your heart. Some of them have taken me by surprise, stories that have shocked me. Not the kind of story that I would have expected the person to tell me, and yet there it was, and they've taken me by surprise. And you know the phrase, everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a story to tell. And I think that's true in a way. Everybody does have a story to tell. Some of us can tell great, exciting stories. Some of us, perhaps, more normal, everyday, bland stories. But we've all got a story somewhere that we can tell. And I began to think, you know, there's all these people in the Bible, and they all have amazing stories to tell. I think if we were to take some of these people in the Bible, and we were to stand them on a platform here today, and you were to say to them, Daniel, what's your story? Well, he could tell us about the lion's den, and he could tell us about the fiery furnace. Wow, that's quite a story. And you could maybe speak to Moses and ask him what his story was. And all these greats, David, Samson, all these people in the Old Testament, and there are many, many of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the great physician, Luke, the doctor, John, and so on, and we could go on. And they would all have amazing stories to tell, wouldn't they? They would be on the front line. They would be on the front page of every newspaper across the land, wouldn't they? Amazing stories to tell. But as I was thinking about that, and I began to think about Paul as well, I began to realise that there's a stark difference between the stories that these people would tell and the stories that we would tell. You know, if I was to stand here and I was to tell you some stories about me today, well, they'd probably all be sleeping within 5 minutes. They'd probably be that boring. But the stories would probably be about me, and about me, and about me. But you see, the stories that these people tell from the biblical days, there's a big difference, and that is that they would tell the stories, and yes, they would be there in the stories, but the stories would be of Christ, and of Christ, and of Christ. And here Paul stands, and he stands before King Agrippa, and he is given a platform to tell his part of the story. And what he quite simply does is he tells his testimony to this king. Now I know what I feel like before I come to a meeting just like this. The nerves begin to start to eat away at you and so on. And these moments leading up are the worst ones, and I'm pretty sure a lot of speakers that have been here would say exactly the same thing. I don't know how Paul would have felt standing in front of Festus in bonds and chains, and then standing in front of King Agrippa. But nevertheless, he's given that opportunity, and he stands there, and he testifies to this man, Christ Jesus. He gives his testimony. He tells of his experiences with the Lord Jesus. He tells when he was saved. I was saved a good time ago now, when I was about the age of seven. You know, you're never too young to come to the Lord Jesus. Never too young to come to the Lord Jesus. I was saved when I was about the age of 7. Now, I can't tell you a month, I can't tell you a specific date, but I can tell you every single detail of that experience that I had. I can remember it as clear as day. I can remember sitting in my bedroom, and I can remember realizing, you know, I've been to all these Sunday schools, I've been to all these children's meetings, I've been to all these camps, and I'd heard the gospel message. I'd heard that Jesus Christ came into this world, and I knew and I realized that he came in, and he came in for me, and he came to die on a cross for me. He came to take my sins away. He took the punishment instead of me. I knew that. But I also knew that I hadn't done anything about it. I believed the stories. I knew that my friends were Christians. Some of my friends anyway. I knew that my mum and dad were Christians. I had the privilege, and I do take it a privilege, of growing up in a home where the Lord Jesus Christ was preached. And the Lord Jesus Christ was spoken about. And the love and the attributes, as it were, of Christ were displayed in that house. And at the time, perhaps, I didn't really quite realise the preciousness of that. But looking back, I tell you, I count it an absolute privilege to have had that in my life. Not that the Bible was bashed over my head, or not that anything was forced upon me. It wasn't anything like that at all. But Christ, it was evident that Christ was in that home. And I knew that. And I began to realise through all these meetings that I needed to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember going along to camps, and I remember one particular camp. I remember sitting in one of the meetings, and there was all these children there, and there was all the adults, they were there as well at the side, and they were singing this chorus, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy with all the way. I can remember that song being sung. And I can remember sitting there on my seat, and I could hardly sing it because I knew that I hadn't given my life to Christ. I knew that my burdens hadn't been taken away, and I knew that the burden was still upon me, and there was nothing that I could do to get rid of it, and I had to turn to Christ. I believe that was me under conviction. I believe that was the voice of God speaking to me at those particular meetings, and it was round about the same time that I was saved. And the Lord Jesus came and took my sins away. You know, that's my greatest story. That's my greatest story. I could tell you about lots of other different things, but that is my greatest story, because that's the day the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life, and he came into my heart. And from there on, I tell you, he's never left me. You know, many, many friends and people and right about us in this life today, no matter how close we are to them, no matter how much we love them, no matter how much we think we perhaps know them, you know, there's letdowns and there's difficulties that come in. But when you give your life to the Lord Jesus, I tell you, he never leaves you and he never disappoints you. And he's always there and he's always looking after you, and he'll be with you every step of the way. From the day that I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, he's been with me every single step of the way. And I know that from this moment onwards, he's going to be with me every step of the way. And I tell you, that's a real joy. That's a joy that just cannot be found in anything that this world can offer. That's a joy that can only come from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. From realizing that we need to have our sins forgiven and asking him into our hearts. That was how I became a Christian. Here's Paul when he's standing here before King Agrippa, and he's telling him of his experience. And the first thing that jumped out to me as I read down the passage a few times was quite simply this. He speaks about Christ. Yes, he speaks about himself, but then he speaks about Christ. And he doesn't mention anyone else. He speaks about Christ. He doesn't mention the people that perhaps came along to help him at the time. He just mentions Christ. He doesn't mention the people that perhaps would have been praying for him, or perhaps the people that would have guided him in his early days or wherever as a Christian. He speaks about Christ. He keeps it to Christ because, you know, he is the only one. He's the only one that can help us, isn't he? And Paul knew that. And he's telling King Agrippa, you know, it's all about one man. It's all about the man, Christ Jesus. In the world today, they will talk to us and they will tell us, they will mention different religions, and they will mention different denominations and so on. and different ways of thinking and different ideologies and so on. And it seems to be sometimes when, you know, they realise that perhaps, you know, me speaking as a Christian, for example, when they realise that you're not part of any of these religions or denominations, it's kind of strange to them. But you see, it's not about these things. It's like Paul was saying, it's all about Christ. It's all about a man. It all comes back to him. You can explore all these religions, you can explore all these ideologies in life, but it all comes back to Christ. It all comes back to God's Son. And tonight we want just to bring Christ before you. And we want just to say to you, look, just gaze on his face for a few minutes. You know, just gaze on his face. Just look into his eyes. And just let the things of the world just fade away. And just look upon that man and you'll see that that man, and you'll realise that that man came into this world and he came in for the purpose of dying on a cross. And he came into this world to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. And just take a moment just to let that sink into your heart and realise it's all about him. It's all about Christ and what he has done for us. But Paul goes on and he starts to tell King Agrippa just how Christ spoke to him. I thought this was very interesting. You know, he starts to give the details as to how Christ spoke to him. There was Paul, he was saying, basically what he was saying was, I got up one morning and he had his orders. And this is the man that was going after the Christians, and he was going down the Damascus road. And then he had this great big experience where this great light shone down, and a light greater than the intensity of the sun. Now that's got to be some light. And it reduced them to a quivering wreck on the ground. And then, Paul said, he heard God's voice. He heard God's voice. This is the greatest book ever written. We can look into it and we can see God at work. And we can read all different aspects about God, but one of the aspects I love about this Bible, about this book, sorry, is that we can hear, even by reading, we can hear God's voice coming through. Paul heard God's voice. Now, just imagine what that must have been to Paul. He thought that the Lord Jesus was dead. He thought that that was the end of the Lord Jesus. He didn't really need to worry too much more. He was just rounding up all the rest of the people that were worshipping the Lord Jesus. But he thought this man was dead. And comes this voice booming out of heaven. Saul, Saul, why do you keep persecuting me? Why do you keep persecuting me? Why do you keep going against me, Paul? Why do you keep fighting against me, Paul? That must have been some shock to Paul that day, Saul that day, as he listened to that voice and as he realised that the very voice that was booming down on top of him was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've heard God's voice to me. I wonder if you've heard God's voice. You know, I was thinking about the just different situations, different scenarios, different experiences in the Bible. My mind actually went to Lot's wife. And you remember there was Lot and Lot's wife, Lot and his family. And he was in that great city of Sodom. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and how the cities were going to be destroyed. And the angels approached Lot and they gave him the stark message and they said, get your family and get out. Because the Lord has looked down upon the city. The cry of the wickedness of the city are too great and he's going to destroy the cities. You need to get out. You need to head across the plains. You need to get to a place of safety. And you mustn't look back. Now Lot's wife in that particular time, she listened and she heard and she realised that that was very real. And she heard the voice of God in that situation. She really heard the voice of God and she acted upon it. She acted upon it and she ran with Lot and they got out of there. But unfortunately, Lot's wife, she looked back. And remember, she became, the Bible says, a pillar of salt. What I was thinking of, I was just thinking of the situation that arrived on her doorstep that day. You know, it took that, the intensity of that situation, the fact the city was going to be destroyed, and Lot's wife suddenly listened, and she suddenly was well aware that that was God's voice speaking to her, and she acted upon it. Now, I don't want to jump stories, and I want to keep on this story, but you know, I was thinking of the times in various people's lives when something has happened, something great, something intense, something immense, and it's been the voice of God speaking to them. It's been the voice of God speaking to them. And perhaps in our own lives we could sit back and we could think of times, perhaps when a great illness has come upon us, or come upon one of our loved ones, perhaps a time of great sickness, perhaps a time of anger, a time of loss perhaps, perhaps a time of bereavement, a time when there's been some kind of separation has come in, and there's been some kind of hurt has come into the family, and it's hurt us and it's cut us to the core. And even just thinking about these situations, they cause us grief, and they cause us sorrow, and they cause us a heaviness of heart. Can I put it to you tonight that we, is that not the voice of God speaking to you? It took a great light from heaven, and it took a great light from heaven and a booming voice from heaven to put Paul down on the ground, and suddenly Paul heard the voice of God. Have you heard the voice of God in your life tonight? Has there been times in your life when you've just suddenly you've thought to yourself that God must be speaking? We could bring it to the present, and we could say, is it the voice of God that you're hearing tonight? You know, the preachers can come and can stand on this platform, but every preacher will say quite honestly and openly, they're buttermouth piece. And it is the voice of God that hopefully wings its way into the hearts and minds of all who listen. Have you heard the voice of God tonight in your life? But here's a question. Would God speak to you tonight? Would God speak to you tonight? Would he take the time to speak to you? Would he take the time to speak to me? Well, he did, even as a boy of 7. He took the time to speak to me several times, and he still speaks to me every day. It's lovely. Would God speak to you tonight? Paul goes on and he describes what kind of man he was. In chapter 26 that we read, we didn't read the verses, but let me just read very briefly verses 10 and 11 of chapter 26. And he's explaining what kind of man he was, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. So we're beginning to get a picture as to what he was like, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. There's the character of the man Saul before he was saved. That's the kind of man that he was. He was feared by all the Christians. They would be fear and trembling if they knew he was in the area. I'm pretty sure of it. He would tear families apart. He would put people to death if they worshipped the Lord. And yet, God spoke to that man that day on the road to Damascus. And he challenged him. And he saved him. And he turned him around. And used him for his service. And so, Paul went on to do a great service for the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that there's anybody here like Saul tonight. Not at all. But what my point is quite simply this, is it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter what you're into just now. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter the type of things you've taken part in. It doesn't matter. None of these things matter, because Christ is interested in you no matter what. He's interested in you. And he wants you just to come to him. You know, the peace that you have when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a peace, says the Bible, that passeth all understanding. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely wonderful. I think there's an old expression that came from an old lady in the meeting once, and she said, it's better felt than tell. Better felt than tell. You know, there's some lot of truth in that. It's better felt than tell. It's amazing. You know, when you come to the Lord Jesus, the peace that he brings upon your life. I wonder if you've got that peace, that security, that love shining down on you every day. It's a wonderful thing to have. And it's our prayer that each and every person in the meeting tonight would have that peace, and we'd have that security, and we'd have that assurance that one day, we're going up to heaven, going up to heaven. And Paul goes on and he says that he was saved to serve Christ, to live for Christ. And he explains to King Agrippa that that is his intention, and that is certainly what he was going to do. But just moving on, there's a couple of things we can say there, but just moving on, Paul gets to an interesting point in his story. He's told them his testimony, in it, as it were, and then he comes round and he gives an appeal. He gives an appeal. He doesn't miss a chance. And even although this is the king that he's standing in front of, and even although Festus, at this point actually, Festus has actually turned around and said, "Paul, are you beside yourself? Are you mad? These kind of things that you're saying." It doesn't put him off. And he goes on. And interestingly, one of the things he says to the king is, he says that he believed that the king knew of all these things. I thought that was rather interesting. I think King Agrippa was a very intelligent man. And Paul obviously believed that as well. And he believed that the king understood these things. Because he says that little phrase to the king, "You know these things. You know these things." I was just wondering, maybe you've come along to the gospel meeting for a long time. And maybe it's just your first time in the gospel meeting. And maybe you've heard the message elsewhere, the same message elsewhere, God's voice. Do you know these things? Do you know these things? Do you understand these things? Do you understand the message that Christ died for you? I think King Agrippa did. And Paul appeals to that man. And just as Paul appeals to that man, bringing it up into the present, we can safely say this, that Christ appeals to you today. And he said, "Do you understand what happened there? Do you understand what happened at Calvary? Do you understand that I sent my son into the world to die there on that cross, to bear your sins, to take your punishment?" You see, it should have been us. It should have been us on that center cross. It should have been us, because we were the ones that have done everything wrong. We are the ones that have fallen short of the mark. We are the ones that have disobeyed God. We are the ones that have gone our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. And yet, we are not the ones that were punished. God's Son was punished in our stead. And by believing in him, we can have that access to eternal life. Paul goes on, and he appeals to King Agrippa. And he says, "Believest Do you believe? Do you believe?" And that's a question we can ask tonight, isn't it? Do we believe? Do we believe? Do you believe? There are many people in the world today, and they believe that the Lord Jesus walked this scene of time. There are many people in the world today, and they believe that, yes, he existed, and they can take the other characters that are displayed in the Bible, and they say, "Yes, absolutely, you know, and this is where this city was, and this is where this person probably stood," and so on. And many people can have a belief in all these things, but really what we're asking tonight, it's something more than that. Because just believing that will not get us to heaven. But by believing that the Lord Jesus died on the cross and gave his life for our sins, and accepting that we are the sinner and we are the ones that need cleansing, and asking the Lord Jesus into our heart, by believing, by putting our faith, by putting our trust in him for these things, then we can have access to the very heights of heaven one day. Paul heard God's voice. He heard God's voice. I heard God's voice many years ago. King Agrippa and Festus in this story. They heard God's voice. I'm sure of it. They heard God's voice. Paul replied to God's voice. He said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow." I replied to God's voice. I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow." Many thousands and millions of people have replied to God's voice, and they've said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow." King Agrippa replied to God's voice. And King Agrippa said, almost, you persuaded me to become Christian. Almost. We have many lovely hymns in the hymn book that we've sung out of. And one of the hymn writers, the title's just gone from me just now, but one of the writers, he penned these words, and I do believe every time I sing them that they are the three saddest words in our hymn book. And he said this in the last line, "Almost, but lost. Almost, but lost." Isn't that sad? That someone can be almost persuaded, but lost. There's no middle ground. There's no pre-bargaining. There's nothing like that at all. It's believe and be saved, or don't believe and perish. The Bible does tell us about a place called hell. And the Bible does warn us that if we don't believe, then that will be our destination. "Almost," says King Agrippa, "thou persuadest me to become a Christian." I wonder tonight in the meeting tonight, just as I close, if I could ask if there's anyone in the meeting tonight and you're almost persuaded, almost, just about there. Paul says in reply to that, one of the best replies ever, he says, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all those that hear this day were both almost and altogether persuaded, altogether such as I am, except these ones." In other words, he was appealing to King Agrippa and Festus and all those that were round about, that they wouldn't just be almost, but they would be fully persuaded. That they would put their faith and trust in that person that he said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, can I say this? Respectfully, don't be almost. Don't be almost. We don't know what another day is going to bring. We don't. We don't know if we're going to wake up tomorrow and see tomorrow morning. We don't know. If we are almost, we're still going to be lost. Don't be almost. Be fully persuaded. And just take a look at the Saviour. And just take a look at the one who it's all about. The Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at him. Just gaze into his face. And realise that it was all for you. It was all for you. Not just almost, but indeed all together. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do come before you tonight and thank thee for what we can read of in thy scriptures and the word of God. We do thank thee, our Father, for what we thought about tonight. And we think of the solemnness of being almost persuaded. We just pray, our Father, that thy Spirit would be able just to take what has been said tonight and just to work in the hearts and minds of all who are here. And so, our Father, we thank you for this time, and we just pray that thou would take us home and part us with thy blessing, and continue with us as we go forward into another week, for we ask it in the Saviour's name.